you all for coming to learn with me this morning. And of course, thank you to the Yeshiva and to the Arbisfeld family for the Kollel Yom Rishon program. This is my first time. I've never done a Kollel Yom Rishon. This is not the way I envisioned doing it on Zoom, but Bezras Hashem, we should be able to do it in person sometime. I mean, we will, Bezras Hashem, be able to do it in person sometime very, very soon. It's a great pleasure to be with you this morning, and especially a great zechus to be able to share this platform with Mori V'Rabbi, Rav Simon Shlita, who's going to be giving the next shiur. I decided to talk about Zemiros on Shabbos because this is one of those things that I found in my family, at least, was a great improvement over the course of Corona. We were never big singers, not at the Shabbos table nor anywhere else, mostly because no one in my family, mostly me, can carry a tune. I really have a very difficult time carrying a tune. It sounds awful, absolutely awful when I sing. My voice isn't terrible for shiurim, but it's pretty terrible as far as singing is concerned. And yet, somehow, over Corona, when you didn't have the embarrassment of having guests over, so we were able to sing all we wanted, and it sounded wonderful to us, even if it didn't sound so good to anybody else. We started singing a lot more at the Shabbos table, and we've sort of maintained that practice, and it really enhanced the Shabbos table a lot. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the meaning of Zemiros on Shabbos, as well as a couple of the halachic challenges that come up with Zemiros and Shabbos. So we're going to divide the shiur essentially into three parts. First of all, where Zemiros and Shabbos comes from, what it accomplishes, what the point of Zemiros and Shabbos are, and then second, to discuss the issue of Haskaras Shem Hashem, of mentioning the Shem Hashem in Zemiros, whether that's a violation of any sort of halacha when the Shem Hashem appears in Zemiros. And third, as far as Kol Isha is concerned when it comes to Zemiros, can men and women be singing Zemiros together? Is that going to be a violation of Kol Isha, and does it make a difference if it's a family member or not a family member saying Dvarim Shebekdusha while there is Kol Isha in the room? And then we'll just Bez Hashem wrap it up with a brief summary. So let's start with where it comes from, the idea of singing Zemiros on Shabbos. So Zemiros is not only reserved for the Shabbos table. We have extra Zemiros on Shabbos elsewhere as well. There's Psukei Dezimra on Shabbos, and the Psukei Zimra is much longer on Shabbos than it is throughout the rest of the week. The Menorah HaMa'or in Chelek Aleph Os Tzadi Gimel writes that the term Zemiros and Mizmorim is a lashon of Zemira and Chituch. That when one, the Torah says Karmachalo Tizmar. Tizmar means to prune, to cut out certain pieces. So he says that that's what Zemir does. It removes its Mesir HaMichsholim VaHa'avonos. It removes the Michsholim. It removes the stumbling blocks and the averos that get in the way of our tefillos being ola lefnei Hashem, of our tefillos rising toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what Zemiros and Shabbos do as well, to remove the mechsholim and the avonos that maybe prevent our Seudas Shabbos from being the skabel beratzon, from being accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And specifically on Shabbos, we have sources in Rishonim that already point to the extra importance of having more singing, more Zemiros on Shabbos. Tosos and Masech Sanhedrin and Avlamed Zayin of Nubeis writes, he quotes a medrash that on Shabbos the Chayos HaKodesh are not able to sing Shira. Chayos HaKodesh are very, very high level angels. They're very high level malachim. And on Shabbos they don't sing Shira. So who sings Shira in their place? Klal Yisrael. The Bnei Yisrael sing Shira in place of the Chayos HaKodesh. Dafka on Shabbos, when the Chayos HaKodesh are more limited. In the Sefer Chasidim, in Simen Reish Ayin Aleph, and in Simen Tav Tav Shin Mem Zayin, he quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Meshulam, that when the Pasuk says, Vayivarech Elokim es Yom HaShvi'i, Vayivarech Oso, that it doesn't, we don't know, Bameh Bercho, it doesn't say in the Pasuk, in what way was Hashem blessing the seventh day? What did he bless the seventh day with? But whenever we find klolos, that Eov cursed the day that he was born, so we can learn whatever the klola is, the opposite of a klola is a bracha. So says the Sefer Chasidim, Eov says, Al tovo renana bo, that there shouldn't be any renana, there shouldn't be meranin b'shiros v'sishbachos, there shouldn't be song on the day of klola, and therefore we derive from there, says the Sefer Chasidim, that on a day of bracha, on a day that the Torah itself tells us Hashem was mivarech, there should be song. There should be extra song. And not only Is that something for Shabbos, but specifically at Shasuda, specifically at a time of eating, when we're eating our meals, there's an extra element of I wouldn't call it a requirement, but an inyan, an idea, a hidur to sing at a time of meals. And this is based on the Gemara in Maseches Megillah. The Gemara Megillah Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis darshens the pasuk in the Megillah by Yom Hashvi Kitov Lev Hamelech B'Yayin. Right in Megillah, you have like five or six blot in a row there, where the Gemara just darshens psukim in the Megillah. I think it's unique in all of Shas. You never have in all of Shas where you have that much space dedicated for just darshening pasuk after pasuk in the Sefer of Tanakh. You have at the end of the first paragraph of Basra about Eov, a couple of blot, but five, six blot in a row, or even more, in Maseches Megillah, just darshening one pasuk after the other in the Megillah. And the Gemara darshens, by Yom HaShvi'i Kitov Lev HaMelech B'Yayin, that Yom HaShvi'i refers to Shabbos. And the Gemara says, and what was special about Shabbos? Yisrael Ochlin V'Shosin. When the Jewish people eat and drink, maschilin b'divrei Torah u'b'divrei tishbachos. We start with divrei Torah and divrei tishbachos and praises of Hashem. Aval akum shalchun v'shosin ein maschilin el b'divrei tiflus. But when you have other nations and of the avodah zara that eat and drink, so they engage in things that are divrei tiflus, that are the opposite of divrei Torah. So it sounds like specifically when we're ochlin v'shosin, we should be singing divrei tishbachos, or at least saying divrei tishbachos. Similarly, the Zohar writes in Chelek Gimel, Reishayin Beis Amud Beis, that Shabbos is a time tzrichin li'tara shira v'chedva l'petura l'gaba, which means that we should be ma'orer shira v'chedva, song and rejoicing by the shulchan, specifically by the Shabbos table. Now, what does that accomplish when we sing at the Shabbos table? So in Shira Shirim Rabbah, Perek Ches, Os Tez Zayin, the Medrash tells us that when the Jewish people eat and drink and then mevarich and mishabech and mekales, we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it causes HaKadosh Baruch Hu to want to listen to our tefillos. And we find in Hilchos Chanukah and Simen Tafresh Ayin Si'if Beis that the Rama writes that even though there is no mitzvah of su'uda on Chanukah, so whatever su'uda you have a Chanukah party in your family and you play dreidel and you have some latkes, you have a nice su'udas Chanukah, it's only a su'udas harashus, says the Rama. It's not a su'udas mitzvah. But, says the Rama, we're knowing to say zmiros u'shvachos b'su'udos shemarbim behem, and then it's a su'udas mitzvah. If you sing zmiros and you sing shvachos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the su'udas harashus turns into a su'udas mitzvah. So what does singing zmiros accomplish? Well, on the one hand, it accomplishes, as the Zohar says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be more, or as the Medrash rather says in Shir Shirim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to listen to our tefillos. On the other hand, it also accomplishes enhancing the mitzvah of any su'udah. It could even turn a su'udas rishus, like a su'udas Chanukah, into a su'udas mitzvah, for certainly it has a significant impact on a su'udas Shabbos, which is already a su'udas mitzvah. It happens to be that Ramah, the Mishnah Berurah points out in Hilchos Chanukah over there, that sometimes you have a su'udah that has like a little bit of a simcha associated with it, but not enough to be called a su'udas mitzvah, and then when you attach shiros v'tishbachos to it, it becomes a su'udas mitzvah. So, I once had to use that Rama for psak halacha in the following case. There was I guess it was 8 years ago. There was a Chanukah and Thanksgiving coincided. So that's like like a kolol yom rishon dream, right? You have like a Chanukah related kolol yom rishon on Thanksgiving. So everyone was trying to do a shtick. Everyone was trying to come up with a shir that relates to the halachos of Chanukah and Thanksgiving that overlap. There's no such halacha of Chanukah and Thanksgiving that overlap. There's nothing. There's no connection between Chanukah and Thanksgiving. They're two totally different things. One is a secular, one is a Jewish holiday, one is a secular holiday, and they're not even thematically the same. So, but I found one, and I think it's going to happen again. I think someone told me it's happening very soon. No, I don't know. I don't know if that's true. But then someone said it's happening soon, then not going to happen again for another like 20,000 years or something. I don't know. I'm not a calendar expert, but I'm sure someone will email me with the answer. But when it happened, it did happen once, like 8 years ago. So I had the following shayla. This is a little bit off topic from Zemiros, but I thought it was interesting. I had the following shayla. A woman had called me up that her Lel Tevila, she was supposed to go to the mikvah on that Thursday night, Thanksgiving night. And the halach is that I'm up passing the Shulchan Aruch, that a woman is not supposed to eat meat the entire day when her Lel Tevila is going to be that night, because basar bein hashinayim, we assume meat gets stuck between the teeth. However, for a sudas mitzvah, you're allowed to eat meat. Let's say a woman as a Lel Tevila, Motzai Shabbos, she could eat meat even at Shalosh Udas, because all three meals on Shabbos are a Sudas Mitzvah, so you're allowed to eat meat. So she wanted to know, her family was having a Thanksgiving feast at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, on that Thursday afternoon, or 3 o'clock, whatever it was, they were having a Thanksgiving feast, but because it was Chanukah, they were also going to have dreidel and latkes, and they were going to light the Neros Chanukah, and she loves turkey. Everyone knows in her family that she loves turkey. So if she doesn't eat the turkey, everyone's going to notice. Like, they're going to bring the turkey, they're going to bring it right in front of her, and they're going to say, this is, your turkey. And so she wanted to know, is she allowed to eat the turkey at that meal? Is that permissible? So I said, that's a Thanksgiving shayla, right? Because in that situation, there are, I thought there was enough room to be makel on three counts. First of all, there are some poskim that are makel with basar oaf. Not many, but there are some poskim that say that the minhag not to eat meat is only basar behemah. It's not basar oaf, that's aleph. And turkey is basar oaf, obviously. Beis, that a Sudas Chanukah, where you're going to sing Shiros HaShpachos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is also a Sudas Mitzvah, becomes a Sudas Mitzvah. That's what the Ramah is telling us, that the Shiros HaShpachos turn into a Sudas Mitzvah. Gimel is that it's only a minhag, and if it's going to be a significant busha to her, it's going to be a significant Kavod HaBrios issue, it's going to be an embarrassment to her. One could argue that B'chi Agavna Lo Nahagu, that we never accepted the minhag under such circumstances. So I thought between the three of those arguments, that we could allow her to have her turkey at the Thanksgiving meal. But you see from this Ramah, the idea that when you sing Shiros V'Sishpachos, it turns what would otherwise be a Sudas Rishus into a Sudas Mitzvah. It also accomplishes something else. The Elia Rabba writes in the name of the Rokeach, the Elia Rabba is in Siman Reish Pei Tes Sifkat and Beis, that after a person has dessert, they sing sometimes Zmiros V'Shevach B'Shabbos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it sounds like the Elia Rabba is saying that that's the appropriate time for Zmiros, not when you're going to choke on your food, when you're right in the middle of your food, but after you finish the course, then you should sing Zmiros. However, if you look at the Rokeach that he's quoting, the Rokeach is really saying something else entirely. He's not just Stam saying that you should sing Zmiros at your Shabbos table. The Rokeach is referring to a practice that many people used to have, which is questionable halacha, whether one should do this, and that is that they would try to accomplish Shalosh Seudos on Shabbos, not by having a third meal later in the day, but by taking the morning meal, the daytime meal, and just splitting it into two, and pausing and making a hefsik in the middle. So what would they make the hefsik with, says the Rokeach? They would sing. They would sing for a while, and that created enough of a hefsik so that they'd be able to be yotzei sudas shlishis. When do people do this? People typically do this when Erev Pesach is Chalan Shabbos, like we had this past year. So everyone tries to figure out. There are people that are never yotzei shalosh shlishis in their entire lives. They were never careful to eat shalosh shlishis in their entire lives. Oh, but when Erev Pesach is Chal on Shabbos, then they have to figure out every shtick how they could be yotzei suda shlishis. So one of the ways of doing that is by splitting the meal into two parts. So that's what the Rokeach says. That's what they would do. Sometimes you just need to create an artificial hefsek in order to justify a new bracha, in order to justify why it's another meal, right? It's very similar to the reason that we read the ksuba under a chuppah. Why do we have to read the ksuba under the chuppah? It's already signed by the Eidim. Everything's already taken care of. Just give it to the kala and let her have the ksuba. No, it's because we say a birchas erusin, and with the birchas erusin comes a bracha of bar pri agafen, and then after that we're going to have a birchas nisuin, and by the birchas nisuin, by the shepherd brachas, we're also going to have a bar pri agafen. So that seems a little bit silly. You're going to say two bar pri agafens for the same two people, chas and kala, the only ones to drink. Two bar pri agafens within 10 seconds of each other? That's crazy. Why would you say two bar pri agafens? So we create an artificial hefsek. So what should we read? So if someone had a copy of the Declaration of Independence or something, you could read that. Whatever would be a hefsek. You could read War and Peace, whatever you want, under the chuppah. LMI, the document that we have available to us, that seems the most appropriate for the time, is the ksuba. So we read the ksuba under the chuppah. But it's really just a matter of creating a sense of hefsek. So the Rokeach, when he talks about singing Zmiros at the end of the meal. He dafka says at the end of the meal because he's trying to create a hafzik to justify a Su'uda Shlishis. But whether it's based on a Rokeach or not, there certainly is such a minag kavua. You know, many of the Zmiros that we have in our benches are from the times of the Rishonim. Others are from the times of the Mukabalim of the Ramak and the Arizal. Others from later Achronim. But these are Gedolei Olam that composed dafka Zmiros for Shabbos. And we find that it is a minag kavua to sing Zmiros on Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Orchaim Sim Tavkov Samach Siv Gimel that because of the Churban Abayis, they made a gzeira that we're not supposed to be menagin beklishir and kol minei zemer, that we're not supposed to have musical instruments and have have concerts and things like that, and even shir bepeh al hayayin is asur. Even to sing when we're also drinking is going to be asur because b'shir lo yishtu yayin. However, the minhag of Kol Yisrael is to say shiros v'sishbachos or shiros of hodos and recalling the chasdei Hashem al hayayin. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Ramah adds l'tzarech mitzvah, like in a base chasen v'kala, it's also mutter. That if you want to drink and also have music, you're allowed to do that l'tzarech mitzvah when it's for the sake of a mitzvah, like at a wedding. So the Magen Avraham on the spot in Sif Katan Yud quotes Kosov Ma'aril Shelo Kadin Hu Shemeshorin B'Simcha Odcha Ki Anisani L'Simcha Sareus Ki Az HaTaruch HaGerasak Va'Omeres Asuni Banecha K'min Zemer. Ach, bebeis haknesses l'regolim mitzvah l'zamer, v'nirali d'lo shari el shirim shenitkenu al hasu'uda kigon b'shabbos. He says specifically there's a special heter for the shirim, for those songs that they were mesakein al hasu'uda, like on Shabbos. So that is a little bit about, as I see someone put in the chat for me to talk about Kalisha. We'll get there. I said we're still going to cover two more topics. We'll get to Shem Hashem, so I guess I'm being rushed to do that, so let's move straight to Kol Isha, and I guess then we'll move back to Shem Hashem, since it's apparently that's the one that people want to or that somebody wants to talk about. So what about Kol Isha when it comes to Zmiros and Shabbos? In my second Sefer Hakon Olam Chelik Bei Siman Dalet, I quoted there's a Tshuvas Chasam Sofer in Chelik Heichos and Mishpat Siman Kuf Tzadi in the Hashmatos, where the Chasam Sofer is concerned about Hirhurim that are created by Kol Isha from women singing in the Ezras Nashim in the Beis HaKnesses, that the Chasam Sofer was very concerned that if women are singing the Ezras Nashim and men are able to hear them, that it's going to cause all sorts of hirhurim, all sorts of illicit thoughts at the time of Kriya Shema and at the time of Tefillah. So certainly, he says, especially since it's women who are not even related to you to sing together. So there are really two issues when it comes to Zmiros sung by women at the Shabbos table. One issue is if the women are not related to the men that are sitting around the table, whether that's a problem or not. And the other issue is if they are related to the men, but these are Dvarim Shebekdusha. So one is not allowed to recite Dvarim Shebekdusha in front of whatever is defined as Erva. You know, one is not allowed to recite Dvarim Shebekdusha or Bracha or the like in front of what is defined as Erva. And Chazal tells us, the Gemara and Brachas tells us, Kol Beisha Erva, that the voice of a woman is considered Erva. So we have two issues. We have the issue of unrelated women and the issue of women who are related and whether these Miros are considered Dvarim Shebekdusha. Let's start with the harder issue. Let's start with the unrelated women issue. So there is, I believe, a famous tshuva from the Sridei Eish. Sridei Eish in Chelek Aleph Simen Ches makes a comment about the Darkei HaChinuch, the methods of Chinuch that were common in Germany versus the methods of Chinuch that were common in Eastern Europe. And he writes fascinatingly, he says, U'gedolei Ashkenaz, the German Gedolim, hayu bekiyim u'mumchim b'chachmas HaChinuch. They were experts in Chinuch. V'lechein etzlichu b'maaseyim lakim doros shleimim shel balei yirei shemayim v'askolei chilonis ke'echon. And therefore they managed to pull off having people be exposed to a secular education and at the same time have a very high level of Yiras Shemayim and Avodas Hashem. Mashallah ala bide gone gedole lito Poland. He says, and the Litvisha and Polisha gedolim were never successful in doing that. People either stuck to it 100% or they fell off the map. They weren't able to balance the secular world that they lived in with Avodas Hashem. Why? So says the Sridesh, Lufish. Because they didn't know how to adjust to the times that they were living in. And he says it's Yadua that Rav Yisrael Salanter, when he came back from Germany and he where he had met Rav Israel Hildesheimer, and he saw that Rav Israel Hildesheimer was saying shiurim in Tanakh and Shulchan Aruch to young women, and Rav Yisrael Salanter commented to him that if a Litvisha Rav were to do this on his own, then they would fire him. He would be Yavir Oso Mikun Oso. They would fire him. How could he say shiurim in Tanakh and Shulchan Aruch to women? So he says, Halvai Shia Chelki Began Eden in Magona Tzadik Rav Israel Hildesheimer. But, said Rav Yisrael Salanter, I wish I could sit next to Rav Israel Hildesheimer in Gan Eden. And the reason is, Esas Hashem Eferus Arasecha, he understood that that's what that generation needed. The Sri Deish has a lot of other interesting things to say, but Nogea L'Inyanenu, he goes on to say, Uma Shenogim Loshir L'Zamer Zmiros Kodesh Banamu Banos Yachad. He says in the youth groups in France that he was paskining for, it was like a youth group for Kiruv, like an NCSY type of situation, where they had young men and young women singing together. He says, I've already been asked about this, Ve'ishavti lem, and I responded, Ki bebo'i leBerlin re'isi batei acharedim mezamrim anashim v'nashim yachad zmiros kodesh b'shabbos. That when I went to Berlin, I saw men and women singing together zmiros and Shabbos. And Sri Deish, coming from Eastern Europe, this was shocking to him. He says, Vishtomamti leminugze, shu negedin mefor shvarachayim simenayin esiv gimel, shekol zemer yisha b'shas kriyashma aser. This seems to be directly against what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that kol zemer of an isha is considered to be erva, and you're not allowed to have dorm shebekdush in front of an erva. Umitam ze'ir arti negedin meminugze, shenagu charede ashkenaz. He says, so I fought against this. V'ulam. Achri Chakiru Drisha Nemerli, Kiagon at Sadik Rav Israel Hildesheimer Zal, Vachain, Agon of Shamshan Rafael Hirsch Zal, Ber Frankfurt al Narmain, Hitiru Bizmirus Kodesh Lazamar Yacha. But then they told me that Rav Israel Hildesheimer and Rav Shamshan Rafael Hirsch were the ones that were matir that allowed such a thing. Vatamishum Detre Kali Lamishtami, because two voices cannot be heard at the same time, so one would not have Hirurim, because one cannot focus on two voices at the same time, so it's not going to cause any sort of Hirurim. He says, I wasn't satisfied with that answer, but then I found in the Stechemed, the famous Sephardic encyclopedia, in Ma'areches Kol, in the entry under Kol, Kuf Vav Lamed, that he quotes Rav Svardi, who is Matir Zmirus Kodesh of men and women together. So there is such a shita that exists, and this was the German practice, this was the minute for many years. I seem to recall when I was learning in Karen B'Avna, I might be getting the details wrong, so don't hold me to this, or actually do hold me to it, if anyone knows, maybe they could email me and tell me the truth. But I seem to remember having a meal on Sukkot in the sukkah of one of Rabbi Teitz's daughters. Rabbi Teitz's daughter was telling us when we were singing Zemiros that in her father's house, Rabbi Teitz of Kronel Racha, the rabbi of Elizabeth, and one of the great leaders of American Jewry, and probably the greatest Marbitz Torah quantitatively in the world during his time, the numbers of people that he had listening to his Gemara Shir in Yiddish on the radio is just like astonishing. There were people that, you know, would sit there, were Mechal Shabbos and would listen to his Gemara Shir in Yiddish, because it brought them back to the, it was nostalgic for them, and they still had that yearning to connect to Torah in some way or another. So anyway, so Rabbi Teitz's daughter said that at her father's table, they always sang Zemiros, the men and the women, and at her father's table, they had a lot of guests, when Rav Baruch Ber visited, when they had all these Chashev Rosh Yeshiva from Europe, they all stayed by the Teitz's house, but they would always sing Zemiros, the men and the women together. It's not a universally held opinion, right? It's certainly not a universally held opinion. It's so not universally held that there are many poskim that have a problem even with family members singing Zemiros together at the same table if there are women singing at that table. But the basis of it might be a comment that the Shulchan Aruch has in Simen Ayin Hey, Si'iv Gimel, where the Shulchan Aruch writes, Yesh li yizor mishmias kol zemer isha b'shas kriyashma, that one should be careful during kriyashma not to hear a woman's voice singing. And then the Rama writes, Va'afilu b'ishto, even one's own wife, if she's singing, you shouldn't say kriyashma. Aval kol haragil bo eino erva. But whatever is a kol haragil bo, whatever is a voice that one is accustomed to, that's not an erva. So therein lies the question. What does that mean? What is a kol haragil bo that therefore is not considered erva? So in the Ateres Tzvi, on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, in Siv Katan Vav, he writes, that means even a kol zemer, a musical, a singing voice, if you are ragil bo, is mutter. And it's mavur that way in the Aruch HaShulchan as well. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, Aval kol dibura mutter, that if a woman is speaking, then in not singing, just speaking, you're certainly allowed to say Kriya Shema. V'chein, and also kol haragil bo mutter b'ishto gam l'kriya shema. That if one's wife is singing and she always sings, so you're used to hearing her sing, then you're allowed to say kriya shema while she is singing. So that is one interpretation of what kol haragil bo means. If that is correct, then the chari should definitely be allowed to sing zemiros when there is kol isha, if it is kol haragil bo and the woman is related to you, even if you don't follow the tradition of the German gedolim of Rav Hirsch and Rav Hildesheimer and I think Rabbi Teitz and others, even if you don't follow that tradition, but kol haragil bo would qualify. However, in the Tshuvas Evan Yisrael Chelek Tes page Nun Ches, Diane Fisher writes that if you have young women singing at the Shabbos Evening. He also says the same thing, that kol haragil bo means people that you're used to hearing their voice. If you have young daughters or a wife that's singing at the Shabbos table. However, I saw in the more recently published Sefer Kovetz Halachos, there's a Chashva Tamil Chacham in Brooklyn, a young Tamil Chacham by the name of Daniel Usher Kleinman, who keeps putting out Svarim of Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky's Piskei Halacha. So he's a very close Talmud of Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, and he writes up the sugis beautifully. He writes up, he writes very, very nicely, and he comes out with a final psak from Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky on almost every inyan. So he writes there in the first volume on Hilchos Shabbos, in Perek Yud Dalid, footnote Nun Ches, on page Tav Kuf Mem Dalid, that kol haragil means kol dibur bialma. Now when we say kol haragil bo is mutter, it means if it's not a singing voice, if it's just a kol dibur, that a regular if a woman is having a conversation, you're allowed to say Kriya Shema. But if she's singing, even if it's your wife that's singing, you're not allowed to say Kriya Shema because kol b'isha erva. So it turned out that singing zemiros, if you assume zemiros are a davar shebekedusha, might be problematic. In fact, Rav Sternbach in the Sefer Tshuvas Van Hagos, Chelek Aleph Simon Kuf Lamed Ches, writes that Meikra Din, a sister can sing when there are no strangers at the table, meaning the young women in the house can sing, because Meikra Din, it's really mutter to kiss and hug your sisters. And even if the sister is older already, she's already a gadol, since there's no real Yetzer Hara for a sister, the Rambam says it's Meguna. The Rambam says that it's inappropriate to be hugging and kissing sisters. But Rav Sternbach writes, but what he means by that is that Meikra Din, it's really Mutter. So if a woman is singing and she happens to be your sister, so that's not going to be a violation of Kol Isha. But in the Tshuvas Avne Yashba, he quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach that an Isha Tahora could sing Zemiros with her husband. However, if it's an Isha Temeya, if it's someone that would be usher to you, that you might have a taiva for, like a wife when she's a Nida, that might be a problem. So it turns out, when it comes to Kol Isha, that this is an old machlokas from the Gedolei Adoros, whether men and women are allowed to sing Zmira Shabbos together. The Sri De'esh and the Menag Ashkenaz say that it's mutter, even if they're not related to each other, especially in Kiruv circumstances. Revel Yash held that it was usher with women who are not related to you, and not only that, even with your own family members, as long as they're over the age of 3, because at that point it's kol b'isha erva, meaning even if you're allowed to hear them sing, you're not allowed to say dvarim shebekdusha, and the zemiros themselves might be dvarim shebekdusha. Rav Sternbach held that it's mutter to sing together with your young sisters. With your older sisters, probably mutter, but better not to. And obviously, hakolafi haminag, that everyone should follow their own practice when it comes to this. And that leaves us with one more issue to discuss, and that is mentioning the Shem Hashem in these zmiros. A lot of the zmiros have Shem Hashem in these zmiros. So is one allowed to say the Shem Hashem in the zmiros? So the pasuk in the Torah says, Lo sisa Shem Hashem elokecha l'shav. There is a machlokas rishonim when one says a bracha levatala. Is that a violation of Lo sisa? Meaning, one might think, of course it is. If it's a bracha levatala, I'm saying Hashem's name for no reason. No, maybe saying Hashem's name for no reason is out of context. Like I just go around saying Shem Hashem. You know, I just without any context, that's saying Shem Hashem for no reason. But maybe if I'm saying I don't have any food or drink in front of me right now, but I say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shakol Niyeh Bidvaro. Right? I say like that, even though I'm not eating or drinking anything. That's a bracha levatala. But isn't that a beautiful statement about Hashem? That I said that Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shakol Niyeh Bidvaro, that everything happens through Hashem, and so through the word of Hashem. What a beautiful, beautiful thing to say about Hashem. That, so maybe that's not called Lo Sisa. Maybe that's not called saying Hashem's name in vain on a Do Raisa level, although it's an Issur D'Rabbanan of Bracha Levatala if I don't eat or drink anything after saying such a Bracha. Now, there are certain exceptions to the Issur of saying Shem Hashem. For example, when it comes to the mitzvah of chinuch, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins and Siman Reish Tezvav Siv Gimel, that you can train a child to say the Shem Hashem, and you can even say it to teach him how to say the Shem Hashem in order that that he can know how to say the Shem Hashem properly. The Ramah in Aruch Chaim Sim Kuf Peches Siv Zayin writes that if someone forgets Yalaviyavo during benching, you know, what happens if you forget Al Anisim during benching? So the halacha is there's a harachman that you could add in and then just say the entire Al Anisim in the Arachman. Harachman Yasal Al Anisim, which happens to be, by the way, a controversial Arachman. The poskim discuss that we say that we're davening that Hashem should make Nisim for Harachman Yasal Al Anisim, Kshem Shasal Av Seinu Bayamim Eim Bazmanazah, and then you go into the Bime Matsyah Ben Yochanga, you go into the whole Al Anisim. But that phrase, Harachman, that Hashem should make Nisim for us, like he did for our forefathers, that there's a halacha, you're not allowed to daven for a nes. One is not allowed to daven for a miracle. So the poskim on the Shulchan Aruch discuss, why in the world is that harachman okay to say? Why are you allowed to daven for a miracle? But that's not our topic for right now. Our topic for right now is the Ramah discusses, and what if you forget Yalaviyavo? Is there a harachman you could add in that replaces Yalaviyavo? And why not? Why isn't there one? Because there isn't one, right? Why don't we have a harachman that replaces Yalaviyavo? So he explains that because by Yalaviyavo there's Shem Hashem that gets mentioned in Yalaviyavo, and you can't risk saying the Shem Hashem Levatala, and therefore he says the minig is not to be mashlim the Yalaviyavo in harachman. Wow, it sounds like saying Shem Hashem outside of the context of a bracha, even if you're saying Shevach Takodesh Baruch Hu, is going to be problematic. That would mean saying Shem Hashem in Zemiros, even though it's Shevach Takodesh Baruch Hu, you're praising the Ribbono Shel Olam, but it's still going to be problematic because it's outside of the context of a bracha. However, the Bir Halacha on the spot writes, Ayin Magen Avram Shetama Alze, that the Magen Avram wonders about this. D'chiyasu lomar tachnunim sheish ben askara shemos v'dafka bracha levatala aser. No, where do we ever say that you're not allowed to say the Shem Hashem when you're being mishabeach Hakadosh Baruch Hu, when you're praising the Ribbono Shel Olam? We never have such a thing that you're not allowed to say the Shem Hashem when you're praising Hashem. No, there's a din that you're not allowed to say a bracha levatala. That brachos were something that Chazal formulated in a certain context, associated with food, associated with mitzvos, associated with particular experiences that you're having. That's where you're not allowed to say a bracha levatala. But to say the Shem Hashem as you're actually praising Hashem, says the Magen Avraham, Bir Halacha quotes from the Magen Avraham, I don't see what the problem would be. So the Bir Halacha writes, V'ri'isi b'sefer b'gdeyesha, sh'miyashvo d'bekan gabayal v'yavo, sh'kavanosu b'zeh lotzes yidei, bracha gara. Now, in the Yalaviyavo, what you're trying to do is you're trying to be yotze one of the brachos of Birchas Hamazon. So maybe that's worse, and that's where you have a chashash bracha levatala, because the Yalaviyavo is actually making up for a bracha, and if you're not required to say it, it might be a bracha levatala. But to say shiros v'tishbachos with the Shem Hashem, that, says the Bir Halacha, would be perfectly perfectly permissible. In Sefer Chasidim, in Simen Dalet, he writes, Maisa b'chassid echad. There was once a story of a particular chassid. Shai yoshev b'beis ha'chupa v'shama echad min ha'mashorim b'mecholo so yimaskir es Hashem b'shiro. That he was at a wedding, and he heard the singer who was singing at the chupa mention the Shem Hashem. So, az haya osu chassid min ha'deo al kol pam upam. The Sefer Chasidim writes that the chassid put him in a nidoy in a cherim each and every time. Because to sing with the actual Shem Hashem, that's not appropriate according to this Sefer Chasidim. So in the Sefer Yafa Lelev, he quotes the Sefer Chasidim, and he says, but if you're singing Psukim, so then you're allowed to include the Shem Hashem in Psukim. So Kafachayim and Orchayim Sim Resh Tezvav, Sivkan Chavdalid writes, yeah, you're allowed to sing the Shem Hashem in Psukim, but you have to be very careful. He says that's only if you're saying the Psukim Be'ema Ubiyira, but if you're saying it Derech Schok, that's going to be Aser. How do you define that exactly? You know, there's music that there's a lot of different types of Jewish music. So sometimes you listen to Jewish music and it's Shirei Ragesh. Really, you feel like you're getting closer to the Ribbono Shel. You feel like the person who's singing the songs knows what the words mean and is actually having kavana for what the words mean. And if that's the case, that could be argued. That's Be'ema Ubiyira, and maybe you're even allowed to say Shem Hashem. Other times you listen to Jewish music, and as Rabbi Emanuel Feldman wrote in an essay once about music that he heard at weddings, he said the words are the words of Jacob, but the beat is the beat of Esav. That sometimes what you're hearing doesn't seem to have much Jewish character to it at all, and you wonder if the people who are singing really have any idea what the words mean that they're saying. That would qualify as derech schok, where that would be usher, probably usher to say psukim in such a way, and certainly usher to say the Shem Hashem in such a context. So there, for this reason, because they don't know exactly where do we draw that line precisely, there are many that are makbid not to say the Shem Hashem during Zemiros, because they're nervous that they may cross that line from derech aim of Yira and being Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu to a point of derech schok in the Zemiros. So there are people that have such a hakpada. In the Sefer Nefesh HaRav on page Kuf Samach, Morenu Rav Shechter Shlita writes that Shamanu Me Rabbeinu, he says, I heard from Rav Soloveitchik, Shemin Hago Shal Aviv Hagoyin Rav Moshe Soloveitchik Zichrono Levracha, that the minhag of his father Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was Shalobite Es Hashem Bos Kshayomer Zemiros Meshabes El Rak Amar Hashem, that he didn't say the actual Shem Hashem, he would just say Hashem. Not surprising that a brisker would be terrified to say the Shem Hashem, that he might be saying the Shem Hashem Levatala. So you understand that was his tradition. In fact, Rav Nevensal Shlita, writes in Yerushalayim b'Mo'adeh, he has three volumes on Shabbos in his Svarim, so on Chelek Beis, page Kuf Mem Zayin, he says that you're allowed to say the Shem Hashem, just make sure you finish the sentence. Make sure you finish the inyan. Because if you're mafsik in the middle, you say the Shem Hashem, and then you stop in the middle, that could be a problem. So he says, l'dugma, he says, take for example, in the Zemer Kol Mekadesh Shvi'i, so he says, you can say, O'avei Hashem, I'm not going to sing it for you, I'll spare you, O'avei Hashem Hamechakim Bevinyan Ariel, right? So he says, if you say Ave Hashem with the Shem Hashem, and you stop there, that's mamish in the Emtza Inyan, that's right in the middle of an Inyan. But after the words, Beyom HaShabbos Yisuv HaSimchu Kimekable Mata Nachliel, so then you can pause, even though you're in the middle of the song, but at least you completed that Inyan. So in such a case, one is allowed to say the Shem Hashem. So it turns out, when it comes to mentioning the Shem Hashem in the Zmiros, then it turns out that if one is careful that they're doing it with the proper kavanos, that it seems from the simple reading of that bir halacha and that kafachayim that it would be totally mutter. You understand why some people are going to be matbid, because they're nervous that they're not going to have the proper kavana, that it's going to be too much of a that they're going to be too it's going to be too much of a kalas rosh, or that they may be mafsik, they may pause in the middle and stop in the middle, and then it's going to be problematic. problematic for them. So again, you know, I realize sometimes people come to a shiur and they want to hear, you know, bottom line, like what do we say? And I just told you, what about Kalisha? Yeah, some yeah, some no. And what about Shem Hashem? Some yeah, some no. You know, so whatever you do, you probably have a tradition that you're following. But I'll argue that I'm just following in the tradition of the Shulchan Aruch. You know, every code of law is absolute. It tells you what to do. This is what you must do. And you open up a Shulchan Aruch, the Jewish code of law, right? And what does it say? Yesh Omrim, Yesh Mekilin, V'yesh Omrim. You know, you always have that. We always have like that. That's the way, that's the richness of the Jewish tradition. Now, the minag, just to close in the last few minutes over here, the minag of singing Zemiros is a very powerful minag, so much so that Rav Avram Dovin Mibochach, the Eshel Avram Mibochach, in Simon Reish Pei Aleph, Sif Katan Aleph writes that he says, Al pi masha kasub bim makomos rabos b'shem azor ha-kadosh, sheyesh la Hashem Yisparach nachas ruach kaveyachal, gam mi ta'anugim gufniim didan b'shabbos kodesh. That Hashem has a nachas ruach. Hashem enjoys when we have physical pleasure on Shabbos Kodesh. Al pizeh yesh tzad zuchus al mashabokrim b'neginos uzmiros arevos b'shabbos kodesh v'yom tovim kedoshim b'beis haknesses hakodosh u'betoch hasudos. And he says, and that's why when you go to shul on Shabbos and Yantif, you should sing. And when you're sitting around your Shabbos table, you should sing, because it's enjoyable to sing, because it's fun. It lifts a person up. And Hashem likes when we are enjoying ourselves on Shabbos Kodesh. This is not a Hasidic Sefer, by the way. The Eshel Avram Mibochach is one of the key poskim. It's printed in the back of the Shulchan Aruch. The Ein Tzorich Lomar Imakavana L'Shem Shemayim LeHedya Shekenu Atova Anachon. Obviously, if you're L'Shem Shemayim, that's a proper thing. V'cheinim Ba'Neginos Yeshesorus Halev L'Avas Hashem Yisbarach. And if it's going to inspire you to a greater Avas Hashem, O Yeraso, or a greater Yeres Hashem, O Share Midos Tovos, or other good Midos, so. Of course that's good. But then he says, Achgam imhu mizmora yasma. Even if it's an orphan song. What does it mean, an orphan song? You're not having any deep kavanos. Why are you singing? Because you like it. Because it's fun to sing. You're not thinking about connecting to Hashem. You're not thinking about what the words mean. It's just really fun to sing, and it's a catchy niggin, and you like to sing. Al kol ze kiven sheyesh nachas ruach l'Hashem Yisbarach min nachas ruach shalanu b'yom makdoshim yitzad zuchus b'zeh. Wow, says the Eshel Avram, since Hashem loves when we're enjoying ourselves on Shabbos, if you're enjoying yourself, even absent making that connection in your mind to the Ribbono Shel Olam, when you're enjoying yourself on Shabbos, Hashem is enjoying that. And therefore there's a tzad zuchus in doing that as well. So when we sing Zemiros, even if not everyone around the table is ready to appreciate or to understand exactly what it is that we're singing about and what the purpose of the Zemiros are, when we sing Zemiros, it is a nachas ruach to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'll just add that there is a famous story. I don't think it's such a nice story to say all of the names, but let's say it like this. There's a famous story that the Stipler, Zichrono Livracha, met another one of the Gedolei Hadar of his time. And the Stipler was talking to this other Gadol, and the other Gadol said, you know, what did you do that you were Zoche to a son like Rav Chaim Kanievsky, to someone who knows Kalat Arukul like that? You know, they say that when Rav Ruderman visited Eretz Yisrael many years ago, he came back from Eretz Yisrael and he bragged that he had purchased a mantle for a Sefer Torah. So he said, what do you mean you purchased a mantle for a Sefer Torah? He said, the Stipler asked me to get a new coat for his son, Reb Chaim. So he said, I got a mantle for a Sefer Torah. I purchased a mantle for a Sefer Torah. So this other Gadol asked, what did you do that you were Zoche to a son like the Talmud Chacham Mefursam, Tzadik Mefursam like Reb Chaim? And he says, because at my table we sang Zmir Shabbos. We didn't only say Divrei Torah. And if you're at a table that doesn't have joy at the table, and it's only the children are being forced to say their Divrei Torah, which is nice also. Children should say Divrei Torah. I don't know. When I was growing up, my parents always expected me or my brother, one of us always had to have every Shabbos meal. So every Shabbos, I said Divrei Torah at one meal. My brother, from the time I was in first grade, that's what was expected of us. I don't think it's a coincidence that we both became rabbis, because we got comfortable saying Divrei Torah in public. So that's what we're most comfortable doing. So that's what we do for a living now. We say Divrei Torah in public. public. But it can't only be about that. There has to be a certain amount of joy as well. And Rav Shachter quotes in Nefesh HaRav that in page Kuf Samach that Rav Soloveitchik wasn't so into Zemiros, and neither was Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. But when the Twersky started coming to the grandfather's house, you know, when they started coming they come from a Hasidic lineage. Obviously, there are other Zaydas, a Hasidic Rebbe. They had Tainas and Rav Soloveitchik, and Rav Soloveitchik tried to satisfy them by singing Zemiros, and then they corrected him because he got the tunes all wrong. But that's what Shachter writes in Nefesh HaRav. But the point is that the idea of singing Zemiros on Shabbos is not a new idea. It is an old idea, and it is a great fulfillment of experiencing Shabbos the way Shabbos is meant to be experienced. It does come with a couple of halachic challenges or fascinating halachic topics, both in terms of Kol Isha as well as mentioning the Shem Hashem. But Bez Hashem, we should all be zocha to experience the joy of Shabbos and the uplifting experience of Shabbos.